There are some parts of scripture that should come with a trigger or content warning. And I think this story is one of them, or at least an opportunity to say, okay, like, gird yourself up for this one. It's hard. Stories of violence, or not just violence, but torture, assault, humiliation. Those are all in our scripture, and this is one of those stories. This is a story I need preparation for, and so we're going to prepare together. There are lots of songs in the Singing Resistance songbook that I've been listening to, both in preparation for the teaching I'm going to do this afternoon, and also because they give courage. And I'm not teaching any of the singing this afternoon, actually. I kind of wanted to, but we want to build a leaderful movement, so other people are doing that. I'm happy to be in good company. So I'm going to teach a song. This is not one we've sung before, called Gather Your Courage. And the words go like this. Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start. And then there's another call and response part that I'll invite you to, that kind of goes with that, but that's sort of the chorus. So, a bit of a sore throat, I'm gonna do my best. So, as I've done in the past, I'm gonna sing, and then I'm gonna have you repeat after me. And then once we have the sound in our ears, then we'll sing that a couple times. Gather your courage into your heart.
Gather your courage into your heart.
When we're together, we can start.
When we're together, we can start.
Okay, we're going to sing that through twice.
Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start. Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start.
Everybody show up.
Everybody show up.
Everybody rise up.
Everybody rise up.
Everybody shake it up.
Everybody shake it up.
Everybody here.
Everybody here.
Courage.
Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start.
Again.
Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start.
Everybody show up.
Everybody show up.
Everybody rise up.
Everybody rise up.
Everybody shake it up.
Everybody shake it up.
Everybody here.
Everybody here.
Okay, courage.
Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start. Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start.
One more time.
Gather your courage into your heart. When we're together, we can start.
Okay, we can start. Just a second. Oh, together we can start. I'm going to hold the story of suffering together. Here, it is good to be together, to sing together, to join our voices. But in this story that Karina read, that Dan responded to with reflection, Jesus is alone. Jesus is alone in this story. He's alone, and the violence being inflicted upon him and against him is completely senseless. There have been no charges leveled against him. The Jewish authorities' story is shifting to appeal to the Roman power. And the occupier, Pilate, is ready to let Jesus go, but still has no qualms about inflicting violence upon him, beating him, whipping him. And the soldiers mock and taunt him. They abuse him and slap him. Jesus is completely alone, and he has no song, no chorus to bolster his courage. This is a story I would much rather avoid. There are so many good stories about Jesus that I love to tell and to hear and to embody. Stories about Jesus' actions that I want to emulate, his words that inspire and teach and invite. So many stories that show his compassion and patience and empathy and his cleverness in dealing with his opponents. But if I can't avoid this text, then I'd rather just like zoom through it, read it quickly, just barely glance at those details to get through all of that gore to the glory. Consuming it so quickly, I don't even have to taste it. I just get through as fast as I can. As a kid, I would always like eat the stuff I didn't like on my plate really fast so that I barely had to taste it before getting to the stuff that I liked. There's no good stuff on this plate. There's no glory. This afternoon, when I head over to the Singing Resistance meeting, one of the things that we are going to do is talk about authoritarianism. And on Friday, I wrote the definition on a big poster board so that we'll be able to look at it together, those of us who gathered. And this is the definition: a system in which there is a concentration of power in the hands of a small group of people who act in ways that are not constitutionally accountable, and who maintain power through repression and threats or acts of violence. Don't think the Romans had a constitution, but otherwise, this feels like it fits. Everything about this story fits that definition. The soldiers have no reason to act as they do, no stated reason anyway. They're not ordered to slap or mock or dress Jesus up in a humiliating way. It's all about power in the hands of these few. It reminds me of the stories that we heard so many years ago now already at Abu Ghraib of soldiers taking pictures of prisoners in humiliating positions, posing after torturing them. Or even more recently, the videos of Kristi Noem striding through the prisons in
Sure.
It wasn't Venezuela. Nope.
El Salvador.
El Salvador. Elevator up.
A savior, El Salvador.
And yeah, really. And that kind of power concentrated in the hands of the few is it's heady for those who wield it. It's on the same spectrum as, playground mockery of children, that the seeking of belonging and connection and power by establishing who belongs and who does not, who has power and who does not. And just like life, the Bible includes that whole spectrum. The Bible is full of human beings, and human beings can be cruel. They can dehumanize, because dehumanizing means not having to have empathy. And Jesus is also a human. A human who, if you do have empathy, is hard to ignore. Jesus may be God's son, and indeed, that is one of the accusations wielded against him by the Jewish leaders. And it's one of the things that gives Pilate pause, because for him, that seems like maybe there's some merit to this. In the Roman like pantheon, it wouldn't have been unheard of that someone could be a God's son, which gives them a kind of power. And so that made Pilate think a little bit. But that is not the Jesus we see alone and suffering, a broken and belittled human man. And it is because of that very humanness that we must not, as I am inclined to want to do, to turn away. Because Jesus is human, he deeply understands our suffering, the suffering of humanity, of individual people, of people in his own time, of people throughout time, of people right now who are suffering. The story calls us in our own humanity to attend to Jesus' suffering and to attend to how he suffers in the body of every person who is suffering. And there's so much. We were talking about it just this morning in Sunday school. But most of us don't really, most of us here at least, wouldn't need to pay attention if we didn't want to. We could easily turn off the news. We could stop following the social media people who are posting political stories, get unfollow. We could not pay attention to world or local events that cause us distress or anxiety. Even living it as I do in a neighborhood where my neighbors are directly experiencing racism and violence and deportation that is happening around me in my neighborhood. I mean, around all of us, really. My family and I are not directly impacted, so it would be easy to choose not to talk or think about that, to not connect to it. I could look away. And that is my first impulse. With the suffering in the news or on my social media feed, it's the same. I want to avoid. I want to just skim past. It's too hard. It hurts. I don't want to feel those things. I don't want to feel hard things. But as it turns out, Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is mine and I am his. And if I'm going to be a disciple, I am called to stand and feel with him. Even as he is there alone and suffering and in pain. He did not suffer and die so that I would not have to experience those things, but in deep solidarity. In deep solidarity with the suffering and injustice against all people. It was one of the most powerful things to me about Jesus being human in this world, in this body, is his deep understanding of what the human experience is. I believe that if I don't look at and stand alongside Jesus, I am standing with the soldiers. I am standing with the leaders who are yelling for crucifixion. I'm standing with Pilate. Last week in my sermon, I talked about being kin with Jesus, about kinship and belonging within a family, about being God's children, all of us together. Sometimes in families, someone we love is hurt, or they're in pain, or they get sick, or some injustice has happened against them. And while it's definitely true that we have a hard time facing that suffering if someone we love is suffering, we do it because we love them. We stand with them. We experience and empathize with their pain. We come alongside. We help. We minister. We serve. Both because they are kin and our suffering is their own. And because when you're in a family, that's just your responsibility. You just do it because you do it. Jesus is every beloved human who is experiencing pain. And as kin to Jesus, they are kin to me. I feel with them. They are mine and I am theirs. James Baldwin wrote, "Every bombed village is my hometown." And inspired by those words, the poet Nikita Gill wrote this poem, which some of you I'm sure have heard before. "Every bombed village is my hometown, and every dead child is my child. Every grieving mother is my mother. Every crying father is my father. Every home turned to rubble is the home I grew up in. Every brother carrying the remains of his brother across borders is my brother. Every sister waiting for a sister who will never come home is my sister. Every one of these people are ours, just like we are theirs. We belong to them and they belong to us." As I was reading that again this week, I was thinking about the bombed villages. I was, you know, I've never been to Iran, but I was thinking of those people in Iran, of people in Gaza, of people in Ukraine, who are even now experiencing that. And I don't want to think about it, but they are mine as I am theirs. Inspired by that poem, songwriter Annie Schlafer wrote a song. And that's how we're going to end today, is to sing that song that uses those words from the poem. Every one of those people are ours, just like we are theirs. We belong to them and they belong to us. And I will add to that, together, all of us are gods. So this song can be sung in a round, but I think I'm not going to try that unless it really feels like we have a good handle on it. So just like before, we'll call and response and then we'll try it all together. It's very short, but there are sort of three parts that you can make it into a round, but let's just do it. I don't have to talk anymore.
Everyone, oh everyone of these people are ours. Everyone, oh everyone of these people are ours, just like we are theirs, just like we are theirs. We belong to them and they belong to us. We belong to them.
Be helpful, or do we think we can all go? Okay.
Everyone, oh everyone of these people are ours. Everyone of these people are ours, just like we are theirs, just like we.
May we gather our courage into our hearts and look together into the face of Jesus, however painful, we will be doing it together. Amen.